Appreciate the message in that song. Take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Luke in chapter number 15. The book of Luke in chapter number 15. And we began preaching a little bit last Sunday morning about the prodigal son and about the father. We mentioned much about the younger son, and we preached about how that he was the comeback child. But I want to look here in Luke chapter number 15, and there's another character that is mentioned here, and we mentioned him last week, but I want to kind of focus a little bit more on his life and the message that's here in the text in Luke chapter number 15. Let's skip down to verse number 25. The Bible said, "Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fat calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Father, I pray for a few minutes this morning as we try to unfold and unpack the truth here in this chapter. I pray, God, that you would make it alive and make it real to the hearts of your hearers. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that does not know the Father, our Heavenly Father, Lord, who sent His only begotten Son, the precious Lord Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt, and they've never truly been born again into the family of God, I pray that no matter what I preach or what I say, that the central, Lord, theme of the whole message would be the fact that they, Lord, need to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father, help us as we look at these truths, Father, to draw near to Thee. And Father, help us, God, to do what you have commanded us to do as you speak to us through your word. And Lord, you said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." And Father, we have ears, and I pray that you would help us today to hear what you have to say to us through the preaching of the word of God. And we ask all of this in the precious holy name, the name that's above every name, the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here in the text, the central truth here is that it is possible for you and I to be faithful in the service to God, serving the Lord with all of our heart, being in church, being faithful every time the doors are open. But you and I, really the whole theme of the whole message of the older brother is that it is possible for us to be faithful, but out of fellowship with the Father. You and I can be faithful to many things, but be out of fellowship to God because of maybe some of the same things that we can point out here in the text about the older brother, because of pride, because of unforgiveness, because of comparison, because of, as this young man had, he was the older brother, but he's still a young man. He was a man that had a heart full of resentment. And so I want to look here this morning. I'm preaching on the subject of faithful, but out of fellowship. Faithful, but out of fellowship. This is the son. We're going to look at the son this morning who never did leave home. He never did take his substance and go to the far country and waste it with riotous living. He did not waste his substance and wasted his inheritance by lying with harlots as the younger brother did. But we often preach about Luke 15 as the story of the prodigal son, and rightfully so. Thank God for what the Lord did in this man's life, and what a message that it gives to you and I, that many times we as children of God go prodigal. We get away from God, and there is hope that you and I can come home. But I want to look not necessarily at the younger brother who left home and wasted his substance and ruined his reputation, and eventually he came back broken, but there's another son in the story. We're going to look at the older brother this morning. The older brother, he never left home. He never got out of church. He never went and sowed his wild oats. He stayed in the field. This older brother, he worked hard. He was a hard-working man. He obeyed. He served. He was a faithful son. He was a faithful brother. And yet when his brother came home, something was revealed that had been hidden beneath all of this faithfulness that this older brother had. You see, his heart was not where his body was. Did you know you can be here this morning physically, but your heart's somewhere else? You're here this morning, and we thank God for it, amen. But it don't take much for you to understand that you can be here, but you ain't really here. I wonder how many this morning, that's where you're at this morning. The younger brother was guilty of rebellion in the distant country, but the older brother was guilty of rebellion while he sat in the father's house. He sat at home. The younger brother broke the father's rules, but the older brother kept the rules, but he lost the father's heart. He didn't have the heart of his father. That's why this passage of Scripture is so dangerous for you and I that are in church. I'm preaching mainly this morning to church people. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Father, you've never been born again, I'm preaching to you too. Because before you leave, thank God, you're going to have an opportunity to step out of your pew, step out of where you're sitting, and come down to an altar. Amen. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know that heaven's your home when you die. Thank God, that's the kind of church we are. We care about your soul this morning. But we also care about God's people. And y'all are faithful. And thank God for the East River Baptist Church. You say, who are you preaching to? I'm preaching to me. Because it's easy this morning to remain faithful, but get out of fellowship with the Father. It's dangerous for you and I. The older brother doesn't look like a sinner. Looks pretty good. He's got the right clothes on. He's there with the Father. He looks like a faithful believer. He's in church. He's working. He's serving. He's doing all the right things. But underneath the activity that's going on the outside is a heart that has become bitter. We see it in the text. He's not only got bitterness in his heart, he's got pride in his heart. He is one who is guilty of comparing himself among his brother and others. The Bible says if you compare yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. He was one who got resentful. You see, the younger brother was lost in the far country, but here the older brother, he's sitting at the father's house. You know what he is? He's lost. He's lost his way. He's lost his fellowship. He's lost his joy. Not a very good Christian. He's faithful, but he's out of fellowship. I want to give you three things this morning on that sermon title there, Faithful but Out of Fellowship. Number one, you can be faithful but get out of fellowship when you reflect more on your faithfulness than God's faithfulness. When you reflect more on what you do than what he has done. Oh, this morning, look at Luke chapter 15, verse number 29. The Bible says this. Look at what he said. He said, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Do you see the language of the text? He said, I serve thee. I did this. I never transgressed. I never drank. I never smoked. I never cheated on my wife. I never committed adultery. I never did drugs. I dress right. I go to soul winning. I pass out tracts. I tithe. I give. Look at what I have done. The older brother had started keeping record. Oh, you better careful this morning. If you start keeping record between you and what others start doing. You see, he doesn't talk about the Father's goodness. He doesn't talk about the goodness of God and what all God has done for him. He doesn't celebrate what the Father has done. He starts calculating what he has done. And can I say this morning, a lot of people get out of fellowship with God because they don't understand what God is doing. You know, you ain't going to understand God. Did you know that? You ain't going to understand God. There's going to be a whole lot of things that don't make sense. On the drive to church this morning, my daughter Avery was talking and she was saying, "Mom and Dad, you know, I got my whole life planned out." And we're kind of chuckling, you know, because when you was a kid, you probably did too. But you know what my wife said? She said, "I remember when I was a little girl and I had my whole life planned out. I had everything planned. This is what I want. This is when I want to get married, how many kids to have, where I'm going to live, the kind of man I'm going to marry, where we're going to work, what our house is going to look like." You know what she said? She said, "Out of all the plans I had for my life, none of it came true." You know why? Because God has a better plan. If he lets you keep your plans, you would destroy your life and everybody else's around you. He said, "Look what I've done." He sees himself here as an employee who has earned benefits based on how he has performed for his Father. He said, "Look at what I've done." The father says in verse number 31, look at what the father says. He said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." In other words, he said, "Son, you have misunderstood our relationship. It ain't the way you have portrayed it. You thought you were working for me, and son, I wanted you to live with me." Amen? There's nothing you can do that would make God love you any more than he's already loved you. This is not a performance-based Christianity. The Father wants fellowship with us. He doesn't want a bunch of performance. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God don't have a section over here and said, "These are some people that I love more and I died more for them, but these people over here, I died for them, but you know, I didn't really love them as much." Listen, the ground's level at the cross. There ain't nothing you could, that's why you can't get to heaven on your own merit. You cannot work your way to heaven because there's nothing you can do. There's no performance that you can act on that would make God look down upon you and say, "I think I love that one right there." He loved us all. And I understand there's a part of God that Adrian Rogers used to say that God does not have favorites, but he has intimates. It's a good explanation for that. The Bible does say that God loveth a cheerful giver. But we're talking about the love of God shed abroad upon your heart. The love for your soul. The love for you as a son. From a sinner to a son. You see, what was he doing? This brother, he compared his sacrifice. The older brother essentially was saying to the father, "Where is my reward? Where's my party? Where's my recognition? I've worked all these years and you never did this for me." You know what comparison will do? Comparison will make you blind to your own blessings. Because you're looking at everybody else's blessing. The older brother was standing in the home filled with everything his father had possessed, which also, according to the father, belonged to him. He said, "All that I have is what? Thine." He's standing there and he is complaining about a celebration for someone else. When he's standing there as a son and the father says, "It all belongs to you anyhow." You see, this morning he was surrounded by blessings, but he was blinded by the comparison in his heart. He's comparing himself. You cannot see all that God has done for you because you've got your eyes on somebody else. Can I say this morning, God's been good to us, Brother Kyle. God's been good. The reason why we're here is because of the goodness of God. If you got what you deserved, you'd be in hell with your back broke. And rightfully so. You could not charge God foolishly. You deserve to be there. You know what else he did? He converted his sonship into servanthood. Notice that the father calls him. He said, "Son, The older brother calls himself a servant. That's a significant thing this morning, because the father says, "You are my son," and the son says, "I have served you." He has reduced relationship to just measly responsibility as a servant. He had reduced the grace of God to wages. He had reduced his sonship to service. Imagine a man who works for his father every day. He cuts the grass, he fixes the fence, feeds the animals, works from sunrise to sunset. But every evening he walks into the house thinking, "I wonder if Dad appreciates me. By the way, this is what he's doing." Meanwhile, the other son comes home, and the dad runs down the driveway as the father did. He embraces the younger boy, puts his arms around him, throws a celebration, and the faithful son becomes angry. Why in the world would a brother get angry when the other brother came home? Because he had forgotten something. You say, what'd he forget? He wasn't working to become a son. He was already a son. And sometimes Christians, you and I, make the same mistake. We serve to be seen. We give to be recognized. We sacrifice so that we can be appreciated. And we obey and we expect God to owe us something. But grace does not say, amen. You know what grace says? Grace says, "I don't serve God so he will love me. I serve God because he already loves me. Oh, I'm thankful this morning he loves me. No matter what I do, he loves me." The Calvinists, you know, they say, "He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not." You know, amen. The tulip, right? But thank God this morning, the Lord's got the lily of the valley. And he just says, "He loves me, he 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 loves me." He loves you this morning. He gave his life for you. You ought to ask yourself this morning, have I begun to keep score with God? Where's your tally book at? Where's your rule book? Do I feel God owes me because I have been faithful this morning? You're sitting there and you've done all these things right and you feel like God owes you something. Am I more aware of what I've sacrificed than what God has supplied through his sacrifice? You see, you got it all on you. Look at what I have done. Last week I said it was like a country song, right? It's all about you, isn't it? It's all about me. No, it's not. It's all about him. You know, really, the whole chapter is not even about these two boys. The whole chapter, really, the focus is the faithfulness of the father. Am I serving God because I love him or because I want him to reward me? Say, "God, look at what I'm doing. Where's my blessing? Lord, look what I'm doing. Where's my celebration? Lord, where's my calf? Lord, where's my ring? Lord, where's my robe? Look at what I have done." And you start, listen, you can be faithful but get out of fellowship when you start reflecting on your own faithfulness rather than God's faithfulness. Number two, not only when you reflect more on your faithfulness than God's faithfulness, but number two, you can be faithful and get out of fellowship when you recall the sins of others, but you refuse to recognize your own. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse number 30. The Bible says this, "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Did you notice what he calls him? He said, "This thy son." He won't say, "My brother." He says to the father, "That's your son." He didn't say, "That's my brother." How many of you this morning, you know a brother in Christ that you don't want to even call him a brother? Because look what he's done. I ain't calling him brother. You know what? You go into the same heaven that scoundrel's going to. And he's going to the same heaven you're going to if you've been born again. Now, not everybody's going to heaven when they die, but I'm talking about if you have gone by the way of the cross through the shed blood of Calvary, put your faith and trust in the finished work and what God accomplished through His Son when He sent His only begotten Son to the world to shed His blood to pay our sin debt, you put your faith and trust in that, in Him and Him alone, guess what? You go into the same heaven as the worst Christian in here. That's amazing to me. He said, "I, this thy son." Sin doesn't just damage our relationship with God. The sin of resentment damages our relationship with people. Because the older brother could remember his brother's sins perfectly. He was watching. He was naming them one by one. He knew when he had committed it, where he had committed it, who he had committed it with, the dates, amen. Why? Because he was keeping real good record at somebody else's life, but he would not even recognize his own. Couldn't recognize the sin that was growing in his own heart. This morning, when you start accusing, you'll have more in common with the devil than with God. When you start accusing, you know why? Because the Bible says that the devil, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. He knows. He's keeping record. Goes before the throne and says, "Hey, you know what Brian Green did Friday night, 7:30 p.m.? You know what he said to his wife? You know what he thought?" I'm using myself as an example in case you think I'm only pointing fingers, right? And when you and I begin to do that with others, you know what? We become more like the devil than about God. Because I'm glad, thank God, amen, God looks down and He says, "What sin?" "What sin you talking about, devil?" Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil's the accuser of the brethren. Are you this morning? He remembered the brother's past. He knew exactly what his brother had done. He knew the inheritance that was wasted, the lifestyle that he had lived, the shame that he has caused, the failure that he had undergone. But the irony of the text is the father knew it all too. The father wasn't clueless to what that boy had done. He knew it all too, and the father did not deny the younger sins, the sins of the younger brother. He did not, amen, sweep it under the rug. He knew all of these things were true, but the father was more interested in his son's restoration than his own reputation. You and I do a real good job at giving God a bad name sometimes. Why? Because we do things, and God could say, "You know what? I'm sick of you." I mean, God could just get up, just zap, 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 these bad ones. I'm going to get rid of all the bad ones. And I'm going to keep the good ones around that make me look good. God's not interested in his reputation near as much as he is interested in your restoration. Oh, he wants this morning for you to get closer to him. He's more interested in your fellowship than in your faithfulness. The father knew all about it. And the father wanted a relationship restored. The older brother wanted a record of all the wrongs. He wanted to tell all the dirt on his younger brother. And if you're here this morning and your younger brother, by the way, if you're a younger brother, don't let an older brother keep you from getting back in fellowship with the father. Because there is a heavenly father this morning. I want to make much of him. He is interested in you. He loves you. He's looking for you. He's longing for you. He ain't never turned anybody away. Amen. You come to Him just like you are. You don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. You don't have to change your clothes. Amen. There's a church down the road there in Porter. It says, "Come as you are." And I believe that this morning. You could come as you are, but guess what? You ain't going to leave like you came. Come as you are. Leave differently because you get into the presence of the Father. The father wanted a relationship restored. This older brother, he remembered the brother's past. Number two, he refused to recognize his own pride. The older brother thought, "I'm not like my younger brother. And that was exactly the problem. Pride often makes us feel righteous because someone else looks worse than what we look. That's that sin of comparison. God is not the only, the standard is Jesus Christ. He is the one. Pride often makes us feel righteous because someone else looks worse than we do. He said, well, I'm not that bad compared to them. We say many times in our heart, I would never do that. But Jesus is showing us that there are sins that can live in a respectable, faithful servant of God's heart, like the sin of pride. Did you know God hates pride? By the way, we all got it in us. Every one of us. The Bible says one of the things that God hates, these things, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. One of the six, you know what it is? A proud look. You know what social media is full of? A lot of proud looks. You know what all the basketball and the football stars and everybody, you know, that's an influencer or an athlete, you know what their image is if you look at it? It's a proud look. It's saying, I'm bad to the bone. And when God looks at that, He says, I hate that. Envy in your heart, bitterness towards somebody, self-righteousness. Sometimes we're the greatest Christian we know. Unforgiveness, jealousy, resentment, gossip. Maybe, I'm not saying it's in the text, maybe the younger brother was guilty of drunkenness, while the older brother was at the house and he was guilty of gluttony. Ah, look at your younger brother over there, can't put the bottle down. An old drunk, old wicked heathen, old sot. Got a big old belly hanging over, you know, sitting at the Father's table. He forgot the Bible says the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. I'm just saying, do you see how we compare things sometimes? It's amazing how a Bible will straighten out your thinking. It'll take the kinks out of your brain, amen. The younger brother's sin was obvious, but the older brother's sin was respectable. It was more disguised. He knew how to hide it. He was full of sin, but he knew how to hide it. And you know what both sons needed? Both of those boys, they needed the mercy and grace of their father. You know what you and I need this morning? If you're a younger brother, you need the love of the Father, and the mercy of the Father, and the grace of the Father. But if you're here this morning and you're faithful, but you're out of fellowship, you know what you need? You need the mercy and the grace of your Father this morning. Both of them needed the mercy and the grace of God. You know what else he did? He resented the mercy and grace given to someone else. One of the deepest things in Luke chapter number 15 is that the older brother wasn't angry because his brother had sinned. He wasn't mad at the sin of his brother. You know what he was angry about? He was angry because his brother received grace. He was angry because his brother received the mercy of the Father. And that is a dangerous place to be spiritually this morning. When someone falls, do we want restoration or do we want punishment? May I tell you what they deserve? They deserve for God to just kill them. Is that you this morning? Somebody that you don't think deserves some mercy? When someone falls, do we want restoration or punishment? When someone repents, do we rejoice? Or do you remain suspicious of that person? Well, I just wonder if they really meant it. I just don't know if they really repent. I think it was just all a big old show. You see, he was religiously suspicious. When God blesses someone that we don't think deserves it, can you celebrate? Can you celebrate because of the Father's goodness? Amen. Oh, listen, thank God for those that get right with God. And I'm glad, thank God, God don't treat me many times like I treat other Christians. Not because they're serving, not because they're faithful, but because they're forgiven. And every person in the house this morning, in God's house, you know why you're here this morning, is because you have been forgiven. every person here this morning, amen, thank God you are here because of the grace of God. The cross did not create a category of people who deserve salvation more than others, amen. Thank God. Listen, you know what Paul said? Paul said in Galatians 6:1 that when someone is overtaken in a fault, that spiritual people should restore them, listen now, in the spirit of meekness. Why? Considering thyself. You ought to say, but for the grace of God, there go I. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in the same position that they're in this morning. Not look at them, look at how bad they are, look at how wicked and ungodly they are. No. Consider thyself. The older brother was busy examining his brother's sawdust. Just a little speck in his eye. While he's ignoring the telephone pole that's hanging out of his own eye. Look real quick here at Matthew chapter number 7. Every lost unbeliever in the world knows Matthew 7:1. Where the Bible says this, judge not that ye be not judged. I mean, you don't even have to be saved, born in church, go to church to know that, because everyone knows when they're sinning, and you witness their sin, they say, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. They don't even really quote it right. But you ever seen the context of the verse? You know, you got to preach the context of the Scripture. You can't pull a verse out and quote it so, amen, you can get somebody away from you so they don't condemn you. Listen, judge not that you be not judged. Verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote? That's the sawdust. Speck. That is in thy brother's eye. But considerest not the beam, the telephone pole. I'm trying to help you with imagery this morning. I'm not changing the Bible. Just defining it for you a little bit. Considerest not the telephone pole, the beam that is in your own eye, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the sawdust out of thine eye, and behold, a telephone pole is in thine eye. Look at verse 5. Thou hypocrite! That's the older brother. Look at what he said. First, cast out the telephone pole, the beam out of thine eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the sawdust, the speck, out of thy brother's eye. The Bible saying this, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. If you don't judge, you're going to get run over by a car. Because you got to judge. Is it safe to cross? Yeah, I think it's safe. But if you're like, nobody going to judge me. Boom. Right? So he's saying this, you need to judge your brother. But before you judge your brother, you better judge yourself. Because you got a big old telephone pole hanging out your eye. You better get that thing out so you can see clearly to help your brother with that little speck in his eye. Because he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Faithful but out of fellowship when you reflect more on your faithfulness than God's, when you recall the sins of others but refuse to recognize your own. Then number 3, and I'm done. You're faithful and out of fellowship when you begin to resent the blessings of others instead of rejoicing in your own. You see, one left and wasted his blessings. In the far country, that's the younger. The older brother, he stayed, but he didn't even enjoy his. I wonder how many this morning that you have blessings of God upon your life and you're not even enjoying them. Look at verse 28 of the text. The Bible says, and he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. He was angry, the Bible says, and he would not go in. I wonder if this is some of you this morning, always mad, angry, never smiles, never sing, doesn't fellowship much, always looking around and gossiping about somebody. You see, this is probably one of the saddest sentences in the story because the party is happening on the inside. The father is inside celebrating. The younger boy is restored. He was lost and he's found. Thank God. The servants are rejoicing. What a blessing it is to see what God has done in this boy's life. And the older brother is standing outside. He won't even go in. He's close enough to hear the music, but he's too bitter to enjoy the celebration for his younger brother. He can hear it all going on. He can hear the laughter. He can hear the music. He can hear the shout. He can hear the crying. He can hear all that's going on the inside, but he's outside and he's mad about what's going on the inside. Resentment made him angry. Verse 28, he was angry. Resentment always eventually will produce anger in your life. You might hide bitterness for a while and you can fake it, but you ain't gonna make it. Somebody says, fake it till you make it. You ain't gonna make it if you try to fake it with God. You try to smile and, you know, you may shake hands when you come in here and sing a little bit at church, but eventually resentment towards a brother is going to reveal itself. You know what else resentment did? Resentment made him isolate himself. Did you notice that? The Bible says he would not go in. That's the tragedy. He would not. The Father didn't put him outside. I wonder how many people get out of church and they say, I'm done with these people. I'm done with this place. I don't like it. I like all this forgiveness and all this mercy and all this grace. Man, if you knew what I know about them, you wouldn't worship with them. He goes outside and he did it to himself. He put himself outside, isolated himself. How many people you know that way? They just leave the house of God. I mean, as soon as the last amen, stand up here, preach, sing, and just kind of sit there. Last amen, boom, they're out those doors. Boom, they're out the second door. Boom, they're out of there in the car. Got the air conditioner turned on, seat laid back. I ain't going to stay around in fellowship with those people. He would not go in. Bitterness creates its own prison, doesn't it? You can't see the bars. You can't see the cell. The celebration, you know what? That same celebration, that same forgiveness, that same joy, that same laughter, that same, amen, goodness of God was accessible to the older brother. The Father's fellowship was available. If you go to fellowship with the Father, you got to go in. You got to go where He's at. You got to get around the goodness of the Lord, amen. The Father's fellowship was available and the joy of reconciliation was available, but he refused to enter in. Resentment made him blind to his own blessing. He didn't even see what God had done for him. Father says, son, you see it there in the text, son, thou art ever with me and all that I have is thine. Think about that this morning. The older brother was angry about a calf and the father said, everything that I have belongs to you. You're angry about a calf and about a ring and about a robe and about some shoes and you own it all. You say, what about, he owned the herd, he owned the land, he owned the tractors, he owned the implements, he owned all the food, he had all the money, he had the house, he had the vehicles, you fill in the blank, it all belonged to him, but he's mad about the calf. He was focused on what somebody else received. He could not see what he already possessed. God's been good to you this morning. And if you're not careful, you won't even be able to see it because you're focusing on what you perceive that you have lost in your life and not what somebody else has gained. You say, oh, you don't know what I've lost. I've lost this, I've lost that. Look at all this loss, just been nothing but loss. And we all have loss in life. That's part of life. But guess what? If you get your eyes on all the loss, you will be blind to what the Father has given you, the blessings of our Heavenly Father. I want to say thank God for the goodness and the grace of our Heavenly Father that gives us all things to enjoy. It's what comparison does. It turns blessings into burdens. Stop thanking God for your house because you're looking at someone else's house. You stop thanking God for your marriage because you're looking at somebody else's marriage and said, man, I wish I had a marriage like theirs. Stop thanking God for your children because you're looking at some others that may be a little bit better behaved than yours. Stop thanking God for your ministry because you're watching someone else's platform. That's the danger of social media. Everybody knows what everybody's doing now. And nobody posts the bad stuff. Ain't everybody, nobody's ever got on there and posted, said, man, we went on a vacation. We went $10,000 in debt. I'm fat. My wife got mad at me. Our kids ran off. We had a flat tire. It was terrible. Hey, man, we went there. The tickets were double the price at SeaWorld than we thought they was going to be. The hotel added a whole bunch of more fees. They never say that. It's like, man, look at me. Look at my life. Boy, I tell you, it's perfect. It's wonderful. Everything's perfect. Everything's wonderful. If you start looking at somebody else's Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or Twitter, Snapchat. By the way, Snapchat ain't real. That's not how they look. It's called a filter. That's why you ladies keep it. Because it makes you look good. Amen? Ever seen somebody profile picture? You know, I feel bad for these dating site people, you know. They get on there. Man, they get on a dating site. I mean, there's this smoking hot girl, this handsome guy. Man, they go to the first date and they're like, I thought it was Rachel, but it's Leah. It's the danger of social media. Comparison makes you miserable in the middle of all your blessings. Miserable in the middle of all your blessings. The older brother had access to the same father. He had access to the same house, the same inheritance, the same love. But his perspective was poisoned by comparing himself among himself. Sometimes the problem isn't that God hasn't blessed us. He has blessed all of us. If you live in America, you are blessed. The poorest person in America is rich in comparison to people in Papua New Guinea. Rich! We're a blessed nation. We're a blessed people. We're a blessed church. It's a wonderful day in your Christian life when you can look at others' blessings and enjoy them with them. Rejoice. Somebody, God gives somebody a better job or a better car or God does whatever to somebody. Don't get resentful. Enjoy the blessings with them. Go inside and celebrate. There's one word in this text that really ought to break our hearts because the father looks at that older boy in verse number 31 and he said unto him, son. You see that? The father did not respond in anger. He didn't yell and scream at him. He responded with some affection, didn't he? He doesn't say, you ungrateful man. He says, son. Father goes outside on the porch or maybe out in the yard where the older brother has went. He went to where he was. Just like he went down the road for the younger brother, he went outside for the older brother. The father, you know what he does? He loves both sons. He went looking for the younger son in the far country and he went looking for the older brother. Outside the celebration. He left the celebration and he went outside for this spoiled, prideful, arrogant brat. What a Father. What a Heavenly Father. The Bible says He left the 99 and He went for the one. Both of these boys needed the Father. Both of these boys needed the grace of God. Both of these boys needed restoration. One needed to come home geographically from the hog pen to the Father's house. But that older brother, he didn't need to come home geographically. He never left. But he needed to come home spiritually. His heart had left. The tragedy of being faithful but out of fellowship is the younger brother's problem was, I want what the Father has without the Father. I don't want my Father here. But the older brother's problem was, I want what the Father owes me because I serve the Father. And I deserve, because of my faithfulness and because of what I have done. And the Father's invitation is to both sons. You know what He said to both of them? Younger son, come home. Come home. Not just so you can get all the blessings. But you know what the Father wanted? He wanted fellowship. He wanted fellowship with His boys. That's the heart of Luke chapter number 15. The issue simply wasn't where the sons were. The issue was their relationship with the Father was not right. And this morning I wonder, by the way, the story ends without telling us whether the older brother ever went back inside. Did you notice that? The father's talking to the older brother and Jesus kind of leaves this open-ended here in Luke chapter number 15. You say, Brother Wyatt, why did God do that? Because this morning as we go into the invitation, I'm going to ask Sister Christy if you come to the piano. The question is no longer about the older brother. The question is about you. You see, the focus shifts to you. Will you go inside this morning? Will you rejoice when sinners get born again? Will you celebrate when God's grace is given to somebody else that you don't think deserves the grace of God? When are you going to stop keeping score? Stop complaining and rehearsing somebody else's past to them. Maybe it's a husband that your wife has failed you, or a wife, your husband's failed you, and you're keeping a record book. Listen, this morning, it's time to stop examining others and start examining your own heart. Will you remember that everything that we have is simply this morning the marvelous grace and mercy of God? It's why you're here this morning. The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. God's a perfect gentleman. One thing about the Father is He never went all the way out to the hog pen to get the boy. He kept looking, kept praying, kept looking and longing, and eventually He saw him in a long way off. The Bible says He ran to him. And this morning, God will not grab you by the nape of the neck and drag you down and get you put back in fellowship with Him, but He just says, come. So the focus this morning is not on the brother. The focus is on you. What will you do with your Heavenly Father this morning? If you're not saved, may I encourage you to come get at the feet of your Heavenly Father this morning, who loved you and sent His only Son to die for you. He'll save you today. He'll keep you safe forever. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then for those of us that are faithful, I want to be faithful, but there's times in my faithfulness I get out of fellowship. And I want to be in fellowship with my Heavenly Father this morning. Let's all stand as the piano player plays. Father, this morning I thank You for the goodness of the Father. And I pray this morning, God, for those that are in here that are faithful, but maybe in their heart as I preached, and God, as the Spirit of God spoke, I pray this morning that they would find a place at an altar, Lord, either down here or in their seat. And Lord, get down at the feet of the Father And Lord, with an effort of humility and an effort, Lord, of expecting you to do something in the middle of the grace of God in their life, I pray that you'd help them to get back in fellowship. And Father, for those in here that are not saved, I pray that they would get saved today. And Father, we trust to do what only you can do. I've done my best to preach what you put on my heart. And I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost of God would woo and draw and do a work, Lord, behind the scenes in the hearts of your people that only you can do. We'll thank you in advance for it in Jesus' name. Amen.